Amen. Thank you, ladies. Boy, he does deserve all glory, doesn't he? He is the great I am. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus tonight. And that is who we're going to be speaking about tonight, the great I am. Exodus chapter number 6 is where we're going to be tonight. I don't think any of us would deny we live in an I culture, don't we? iPads, iPods, iMacs, anything else you want to put with the I. We live in an I culture, but the truth is tonight there's only one who is worthy to use the personal pronoun I. And that is the one that we speak about tonight. By the way, John the Baptist made that self-denying statement, that Christ-exalting statement in John chapter 3, verse number 30. He said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And tonight I want to bring you a message here from Exodus chapter number 6. As Moses begins his ministry, God has called him. We know in chapter number 3 that God comes to him in the burning bush, and he calls Moses to be the one to deliver the nation of Israel. Moses doesn't think he can do it. And by the way, in chapter number 3, we have in verse number 14, we have the occurrence of when God tells Moses who he is. In chapter number 3 and verse number 14, verse 13, Moses said, "Okay, when I go back to the nation of Israel, when I go to your people and they ask me who has sent me, what do I tell them?" And in verse number 14 of chapter 3, "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And as Moses begins his ministry, I believe chapter number 6, God is teaching Moses a truth that really he has to teach all of us at some point in our life, or probably many moments in our lives. He has to teach us that it's all about him and it's nothing about us. Notice, if you would, in chapter number 5, in verse number 23. Actually, look at chapter 5 and verse number 2. Verse 1, Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and they tell him, "Look, the Lord said, let my people go." What does Pharaoh say in verse 2? He says, "Who is the Lord? I don't know this Lord that you're talking about." Chapter 5, verse number 2 is where I'm at right now. He said, and Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go?" Notice what he says. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Look at verse 23. Moses has come to God because of his and Aaron's approach to the Pharaoh. In chapter number 5, the Pharaoh says, "Hey, we're not making these guys work hard enough. They're coming in here to me with complaints about they need to go worship, they need to go serve their God, they need to work harder. And so we're going to make them still make the bricks, but we're going to make them go get their own materials. We're not going to provide the raw materials for them anymore. We're not only going to make them make the bricks, manufacture the bricks, we're going to make them go get their own materials. And by the way, we're going to still require that they make the same number of bricks." And so the people come to Moses and they're upset. "Moses, what are you doing? You've just made it harder on us. The Pharaoh has just put his thumb on us even harder. Moses, what are you doing?" And so in verse number 23, Moses is pleading to God. And he says, "For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to his people, excuse me, to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." For since I came. And in chapter number 6, God is going to show Moses, it's not about you, Moses. It's about me. Moses, it's not up to you. Moses, you're not responsible to deliver the people. You're responsible to be my tool. You're responsible to be my servant. But hey, Moses, it's all about me. Look what he says in chapter number 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Moses, it's not about what you can do. It's not about you and your I. It's about me. Because I am the I am. I am Jehovah. I am the Lord. And Moses, you don't have to worry about delivering your people. You don't have to worry about the fact that Pharaoh has made it harder on your people because I'm going to deliver them. And tonight, very simply, I want to bring us a message entitled, I Will Because I Am. I Will Because I Am. And God here in Exodus chapter number 6, and we'll see this as we get down into the message, over and over and over again, numerous times, He says, I. And dear friend, I simply want to remind us tonight, I want to remind myself, that it's not about this I. It's about that I. It's not about me and what I can do. It's about what He will do because of who He is. And so I want to give us tonight 7 statements. God gives really 7 declarations, really in the first few verses of chapter number 6. And so I want to give us these 7 declarations tonight, really 7 I am declarations, if you will. I will because I am. You ever wonder if God really will work in your life? You ever wonder if God really will work in a certain situation, a certain circumstance? Do you ever wonder, even tonight as we prayed, do you wonder if God will work out that situation for the Overtons? In chapter number 6, He tells Moses, I will because I am. And it would behoove us, every single one of us tonight, to get our eyes off of self. And to get our eyes upon the I am. Because He's the one that can do it. And by the way, every single one of us in here tonight, we have a head knowledge of that, don't we? We know that. I look around and I see people who've been in church for a long time. We have a head knowledge of that. Well, I know that. I know He's the great I am. I know who He is. I know He's God. I know He's Jehovah. I know He's the Lord. I know the promises that He made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I know the promises that He makes in the New Testament to us. I know that. Okay? Do we trust it? Do we live it? It's one thing to know it. There's another thing to live it. There's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to trust it. And God is showing Moses in Exodus chapter number 6, Moses, I'll do it. Yes, you're going to be my tool. Yes, I'm going to use your mouth. I'm going to use Aaron's mouth. And yes, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use that rod that you hold in your hand. But Moses, it's all about me. Moses, I'm the one that's going to do it. And you don't have to worry. And you don't have to be concerned. Because I will, because I am. Father, help us tonight. Remind us. Father, every single one of us tonight, we know this truth. We know who You are. At least in a head knowledge way, we know that You're God. We know that You're Jehovah. We know that You're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know that You're the great I am. But Father, tonight, Would you help us to apply that? Would you help us to make it real in our lives tonight? Would you help us to trust that truth tonight? To understand that you will, because you are. You are the great I am. You always have been. You always will be. And we can forever trust you. So remind us of that tonight, Lord. Help us and teach us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Look at verse number 1, if you will, tonight. We read it just a moment ago. The Bible says, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do." Now he's specific about it. He says, what I will do to who? To Pharaoh. But he said, you're going to see what I will do. And so the first declaration I want us to see tonight is that the I am declares his preparation to do. He declares his preparation to do. He says, Moses, you're going to see. I know you haven't seen it yet. It's still early, Moses. I know that the people are complaining to you. I know that it seems like Pharaoh has put his thumb down a little bit harder now on the people. But Moses, just hang on. I'm preparing to do a work. By the way, in the story of Jonah, in the story of Jonah, several times God uses that word, or that word prepare or prepared is used. The Bible says that God prepared a what? A fish. He prepared a great fish. Now, by the way, did He prepare that just at that very moment that Jonah is thrown overboard and wham, He prepared that fish and He swallowed him up? By the way, He could have. But that fish had probably been growing for years to be at the size it was to be able to swallow Jonah. And God had prepared that. I was listening to a preacher very recently, and I listen to this gentleman quite often, and he's told this story several times, but he tells the story of growing up in a pastor's home. His dad was a pastor, and he remembered on a Sunday night after the service, he said, you know, their church, they would take the offering, and on the Sunday night after the services, the men would come, and they would count the money. And his mom and dad would wait to see how much money there was, because they would count the money and they would use whatever bills they had, they would use the money to pay the bills. And if there was any left over, his dad got it. That was his salary. That was what he made. And so some weeks they would count the money and there wasn't even enough to pay the bills. Some weeks there would be a little bit left over. He said, but I remember this one night specifically, this Sunday night. And the men, they counted the money. My mom and dad, they're waiting to hear how much money. And the men come in and they just kind of shake their head at the pastor like, there's not any extra. And he said, I remembered my mom and dad, and I remembered them gathering around our kitchen table, and they're praying to God for money. And he said, I remember my dad, and he's praying. He said, God, you know I have this family. You know I have children. You know I have these boys. You know I have mouths to feed. God, you have to provide. And he said the next morning, he said, my dad went to town to pick up the mail. He said, where we lived, they didn't bring the mail to us. We had to go to town to pick up the mail. And he said, I remember my dad went to town to pick up the mail. And he came back and he came in and he was excited and he was shouting. And he came in and he said his wife's name. And he came into the house and he held up two $100 bills. He said, look what God gave us in the mail today. And they're both shouting, and this pastor, which he was a little boy at that time, he said, my mom and dad were dancing around the kitchen and they were praising God for the money that God had sent. And then all at once, he said, my dad stopped and he said, hey, we prayed for this last night. God mailed it Friday. He mailed it Friday. And we just prayed for it right last night. The I am declares his preparation to do. And he's preparing well before we ever think he's preparing. And he's working things out, by the way, he's working things out on both ends. He's working things out that we don't even see, and subconsciously we don't see how God's working, but He is preparing to do something, and He knows what we're going to need, and He knows our circumstances, and He knows exactly when we need it, and He gives it and sends it even before we pray for it. Number one tonight, we see the I Am declares His preparation to do. He said, Moses, you're going to see what I will do to Pharaoh. Number two tonight, not only does the I Am declare His preparation to do, but the I Am declares His power to drive. Look at the last part of verse number one. For with a strong hand shall He let them go, and with a strong hand shall He drive them out of His land. God tells Moses, He says, Moses, I'm the one that has the power. I'm the one that's going to work. I'm the one that's going to bring these people. Yes, Pharaoh is going to drive the Israelites out, but it's all going to be because of the power that I bring upon Egypt. I have the power to drive them out. I have the power to deliver you. I have the power to bring you out. Moses, it's not about you, it's me. I'm going to use you, Moses, but I'm the one that's going to drive them out. Dear friend, tonight, it's not about my power. It's not about how I can manipulate a circumstance. I'm going to tell you what, we are good at manipulating circumstances. Let me back up. I am good at manipulating circumstances in my own life. Hey, God, I think you need a little help in this area. And I don't ever say that. I would never say that. I would never be so brazen to say, God, I think you need a little help in this circumstance in my life. I would never ever say that. But with my actions, I say that in my actions many, many times. God, let me do this. Let me do this. We have this need or this circumstance. How is that going to come to fruition? And boy, we're behind the scenes. We're trying to manipulate the circumstances. And you know what I believe God in heaven is doing? What do you think God in heaven is doing? I believe He's laughing. They really think they can do that. He really thinks that He can manipulate that circumstance. And God tells Moses, hey Moses, don't fret about how strong Pharaoh is. Don't fret about the affliction he's bringing on the Israelites. Moses, don't fret about the complaints you're getting from your people, because it's my power. Number one tonight, we see the I Am declares His preparation to do. He declares His power to drive. Thirdly, He declares His person of distinction. The I Am declares His person of distinction. Verses 2 and 3. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Hey Moses, I'm not one of the gods of Egypt. I'm not the sun god. I'm not Ra. I'm not one of the bull gods. I'm not any of those gods. By the way, if you study it out, all 10 of the plagues that God brings upon Egypt pushes back and fights and conquers one of the gods of Egypt. Every single plague conquers one of the gods of Egypt. And so in verses 2 and 3, He declares His person of distinction. He says, I am the Lord. Verse 3, He says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. I appeared to them by the name El. I appeared to them by the name Elohim. But listen, here's the name I have appeared to you by. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. But Moses, you know that name. You know that I am the great I Am. You know that I am the Lord, all caps, L-O-R-D. We see the declaration of His person of distinction. Dear friend, tonight, God declares to us over and over and over in His Word that He's different and distinct from every other god, because He is the only true God. That He is different and distinct in His power. He's different and distinct in His characteristics, in His attributes, because He is the only one true God. He's the only God that never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, because He doesn't need to, because He's God. He doesn't need to, because He is authority. And in verses 2 and 3, you say, Pastor, why does that even matter? What does it even matter that He's Lord? What does it matter that He's God Almighty? What does it matter that He's Jehovah? It matters because He's our God. It matters because He's the one that can take care of any circumstance. That's why it matters. It matters who He is. It matters that He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because He's the only one that can save us from our sin. That's why it matters. Person of distinction. He declares His preparation to do. He declares His power to drive. He declares His person of distinction. Number four, He declares His parental devotion. Look at verse number four with me if you would. And I have also established My covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. By the way, let me take a time out. Let me back up just a moment. You know why that person of distinction doesn't matter to a whole lot of Christians today? Because they don't know Him. I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying they either may not be saved or they've never grown in their salvation, and there is no intimate walk with Jesus Christ. They don't know when He comes and hugs them with His comfort and mercy. They don't know that. They've never felt that. They've never experienced that. They don't know that intimacy when they're going through a circumstance to walk side by side, and really not to walk side by side, but to have Him carry us through a circumstance. They don't know that. Because when bad circumstances come and situations come, they run to every other outlet other than Jesus Christ. And so instead of Christ carrying them through a hard time, people carry them through. Money carries them through. Feelings carries them through. Instead of Jesus Christ. And so that person of distinction doesn't really mean a whole lot. But it should. He should be the one we are intimately close with. He's the one that in the middle of the night when He wakes you up out of a dead sleep and He puts something on your mind, He's the one that we go to. It's not getting up. Well, I can't sleep tonight. I think I'll go sit in the recliner and turn the TV on. No, 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 no. He wakes us up. And yes, we may go sit in the recliner. We may go lay on the couch. We may go wherever. But it's so that we can get alone and we can pray. We say, God, You know what I'm going through. Or God, You know what my brother's going through. God, You know what my sister's going through. You know what my church family's going through. You are intimately aware and intimately personal with what they're going through. Boy, it ought to mean something to us. He says, I am the Lord. Your fathers knew Me as God Almighty. Moses, You know Me as Jehovah. The am that I am. Number four, the sovereign I am declares His parental devotion. He says, and I have also established My covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered My covenant. Verse number five, he says, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. He's their father. They are His chosen nation, people, nation on this earth. They're His people. They're His children. And He declares in verses 4 and 5, He declares to Moses His parental devotion. He's My Father. He's My Heavenly Father. These two boys right here, they have fathers who love them dearly. Well, actually, I don't know after what your dad said this morning about Sunday school. I'm not sure about that, but I'm just kidding. These two young men have dads that love them tremendously. By the way, you know one of the ways I know they love them tremendously? It's because they have them in church all the time. That's because they're teaching them the Bible. They love the... So here's the question. If an earthly father, as weak and as wretched as we are, if an earthly father can love the way that they love, how much more does our heavenly Father love? And he says in verse number 5, I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel. Do you think he hears our groanings? Sure he does. Do you think he hears our groanings in the night? Do you think he hears our groanings during our quiet time whenever we go to him? Absolutely. Boy, my children are hurting. My children are going through a rough time. The great I Am declares his parental devotion. Hey, back up to chapter 4 real quick. Quickly, look at verses 22 and 23. Chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my what? Son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. Hey, if you don't let my son go, I'm going to slay your son. And we know that was the 10th plague, wasn't it? Parental devotion. Hey, listen, and I think the next one we're getting ready to look to is probably the most important one that we'll see tonight. But I tell you what, if you can't get something off of parental devotion tonight, and the fact that we have a Father in heaven who loves us and cares for us because we're His children. You know, the Bible speaks about the fact that I am His Son just like Jesus Christ is His Son. What about that? Take that and meditate on it this week. That we have a Father in heaven who loves us to that degree, to that magnitude. Dads in here tonight, think about how much you love your kids. Most of you in here tonight, you'd do anything for them. Most of you dads in here tonight would give your life for your kids. That's exactly what God did for us. Exactly what He did for us. Because that's how much He loves us. Number 5. Number 1, He declares His preparation to do. He declares His power to drive. He declares His person of distinction. He declares His parental devotion. And then number 5, the great I Am, He declares His promise or promises to His dearly beloved. He declares His promises to His dearly beloved. Hey, seven times in verses 6, 7, and 8, He says, I. Look what He says, verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord. Notice this. And I will. I will because I am. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. Hey, I know the people are complaining right now, Moses. I know they feel afflicted, and I know that they feel like it's your fault that their burden is even greater right now. But hey, tell them, I will because I am. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people. And I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you, out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you in unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. I will because I am. I can because I am. I have the power to, and I will because of who I am. Number 5, the I Am declares His promises to his dearly beloved. I will bring you out from under the burdens. I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. I will bring you in unto the land. I will give it to you for an heritage. He left no doubt. He said, ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. How often does God prove himself to us, but we still doubt? Listen, I'll be the first to raise my hand. God can do miracles and answer prayers in my life, but then a day later, 2 days later, I'm doubting. It's because we're flesh. By the way, I'm thankful in Psalm 78 that God says that he shows us mercy. He showed the nation of Israel mercy because he remembered they were just flesh. They were dust, he says. You say, Pastor, how do we keep from doing that? How do we keep from getting prayers answered and then a day or 2 days later we're doubting again and we're not trusting God? You know what the answer is? Got to walk in the Spirit. Because you know when I doubt? It's when I'm walking in the flesh. It's when I'm trusting flesh. It's what Moses is doing in chapter 5. God, since you have sent me here, for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Hey Moses, did you just forget God spoke to you out of a burning bush and it didn't burn up? Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Moses, did you forget that you threw the rod down and it became a serpent? You forget that you put your hand in your bosom and it was leprous. You put it back and it came out perfectly white again. Do you forget that? Oh, yeah. Goes back to what we talk about all the time. We're prone to wander, aren't we? That's why we have to walk in the Spirit. That's why we have to trust Him. That's why we have to be reminded really, honestly, on a daily basis, that He's the great I Am. He's our God. He's not, hey look, He's not just some little statue that we put on a mantle. He's the God of the universe. He is Jehovah. Let me give you the last two real quickly and we'll be done. Number one, the I Am declares His preparation to do. He declares His power to drive. He declares His person of distinction. He declares His parental devotion. He declares His promises to His dearly beloved. Number six, He declares His patient direction. Look at verse number 9. God is patient with Moses. We know that and we don't have time tonight, but back in chapter 4, boy, Moses is just giving excuse after excuse after excuse, and God is patient. Now, he does come to a point where the Bible says that he gets angry with them. But God is so patient with us. Verse 9, and Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Now Moses goes and tells him everything God has just said in verses 1 through 8. But they're still not there yet, are they? Because they're the ones experiencing the affliction. They're the ones under the bondage at that moment. They're not accepting it yet. Okay, Moses, that's good talk, but let me see something. Notice verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, go in, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that he let the children of Israel go out of his land. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He's patient. Moses, how many times do I have to tell you? Doesn't say that right here. Now he does. You go back and read chapter 4 tonight. He does get angry with Moses because Moses is making excuse after excuse. But right here, he's patient. And he's patiently directing them. hey, Moses, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to say. Here's exactly the steps that you need to take. I will, because I am. I will direct you, because I am and I can, and I know the direction you need to go. Dear friend, tonight, that's why this right here is so valuable. Because this is what directs us. This is what shows us and reveals the path that we're supposed to take. It's this. That's why it's always this. That's why we put our confidence in this. That's why we put our trust in this. Because it's this that shows us the directions we're supposed to go. Number 7. Not only does He declare His preparation to do, please don't forget, dear friend, tonight, church family, He's preparing well before we even know it. He declares His preparation to do. He declares His power to drive. He declares His person of distinction. He declares His parental devotion, His promises to His dearly beloved. He declares His patient direction. And then, number 7, He declares His plan to deliver. Would you look at chapter 7? And the Lord, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee. And Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And would you notice verse 6? And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. I will, because I am. That's what God says. But can I tell you what we need to say tonight? I will, because you said so. God says, I will, because I am. I will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. I will rid you, I will redeem you. I will bring you out from under the burden. I will, I will, I will, I will. In chapter 7, verse number 6, Moses and Aaron, what did they say? We will. We will. God says, I will because I am. We need to say, I will because you said so. And because I trust what you say. And because I trust who you are. I will because I am. God will because of who He is. We should and we will simply because He said so. That's what Moses and Aaron did. Is that you tonight? Or are you still having a hard time trusting that He can and that He will and trusting who He is? Look, dear friend, and I get it. Sometimes, boy, we get in circumstances and boy, we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, do we? We just don't see it. But all of those times, it's only because we're looking through eyes of flesh and not through eyes of faith. We're looking at, here's the truth, and I'm done. We're looking at the circumstance instead of the God of the circumstance. Isn't that what the disciples were doing in the ship? What did they say? We're going to perish. Master, we perish! They were looking at the circumstance instead of looking at the God of the circumstance. I will because I am. I will because you said so. I will because I trust who you are. I will, because I trust the power that you have to bring it to pass. I will, because I am. Father, thank you for the time you've given us tonight. Father, I don't know hearts, I don't know circumstances tonight. But Father, I have no doubt that there are individuals in this auditorium tonight who possibly at this very moment, they're going through some storms. They're going through some circumstances. They're going through some trials. They're feeling the affliction of the world, the flesh, and the devil the way the nation of Israel was feeling at this time. And Father, they may even be asking God, where are you? Are you there? Just like Moses said, Lord, ever since you've brought me here, there's been nothing but more affliction. And God, tonight, may we simply be reminded that you will, because you are. And we just need to trust that. And we need to wait on your timing. Because you have a plan to deliver, but it's your plan and we need to trust it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help tonight. I don't know decisions. I don't know hearts tonight. But, Lord, if your Holy Spirit has worked, I pray that we would move tonight. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. If you're physically able, if you'll stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Look, the invitation has already been given. Chris is going to play. Look, if you need to come and pray, come and pray. If you need to kneel right where you're at, if you need to make this aisle an altar, do it. I will, because I am. Sweetie, look. Look what God sent us. $200. We prayed for it last night. God mailed it Friday. He prepares well before we ever even know it. He will, because He is. I will, because I am. We need to say tonight, I will, because you said so. I will, because I trust who you are. I will, because I have confidence in your power. I will, because I am. Brother Chris is going to play at least one more verse. Let me ask you, dear friend, tonight, do you know Christ? Are you 100% confident if death were to take you tonight that heaven would be your home? Everything being equal, that probably will not happen. But if it did, are you 100% confident that Jesus Christ has washed away your sins? Has there ever been a time when you've called upon Him for the salvation of your soul, for the forgiveness of your sins? If you haven't, would you come? Not to be embarrassed, because that's not what we do, and you know that. Every single person in here tonight, you know that. That's not what we do. We want to help you. We want you to come to the knowledge of Christ. We want you to leave this auditorium tonight with full confidence in the finished work of Jesus Christ. By the way, He can and He will, because He is and He did. He can save me tonight because He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. And He will save me tonight. All I simply need to do is, in simple faith and repentance, call out to Him for salvation. Amen. Thank you so much for your attendance and your attention today. And boy, I did my job. I put Benjamin to sleep. If I can put one person to sleep every service I've done my job. And boy, sometimes I do it very well. I put more than one to sleep. Amen. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. I'm going to ask Brother Steve Fry to pray for us. And I look forward to seeing you back Wednesday night, 6:30 for Master Club, 7 o'clock right here for prayer and Bible study. Brother Steve, you pray for us, please.